isn't this just the perfect time to have Yacht Rock on the radio? I certainly do on my Sirius XM channel. I'm surprised there are more Yacht Rock local radio stations. Maybe that's what we need to do here is after this show and Kristen's show, we just go with the Yacht Rock format.
Hey, that's my hour.
Okay, after your hour, we could do that. Who's going to be the Yacht Rock of the future? What music is being listened to today that will be the stuff that, you know, when is played 30 years from now, you know, their kids are going to go, "Dad, what is this?" You know?
That's an excellent question. That's a hard thing to try to predict, I feel like. You got to really
just
have
gonna
your
be,
finger
I mean,
on the pulse.
Will it be the, I mean, I'm a generation off here, but will it be, you know, the boy bands, you know, the whole Backstreet and all that? Will that be essentially a Yacht Rock genre, you know, years from now that
embarrass
the kids of the parents who listen to it?
I think that's as good a guess as any. I think that that's probably got to be a leading contender there, but there's no way to know for
Bieber,
sure.
Justin Bieber will be the Yacht Rock, you know, of the future. Could be. I really appreciate what one law professor wrote here about the search warrants at Mar-a-Lago. "This wringing of hands over the search warrant is fascinating. I don't get it. If he stole classified documents, he is a criminal. Prosecute him and put him in prison, and then put down any violent insurrection that follows by force, and then move on. Appeasement is not an option." It's that clear. If he stole classified documents, he is a criminal. And anybody that defends that is on the wrong side of the law. Again, if it's correspondence, you know, back and forth to, you know, Kim Jong-il or Putin or whatever, that would be fine. That's not what this is. You know, what was it that you were saying, Luke, about Trump? We know he leaks like a sieve, and he's talking about weapon systems. And again, we don't know what's in this particular batch, but he Bob Woodward has written about the way that this guy just leaks like a sieve, the national information.
Yeah. Apparently when he was meeting with Bob Woodward again, Woodward got a ton of like off the record access. Essentially, he just followed Trump around the White House. And there was an excerpt from his new book that essentially said that Trump told him, "I have built a nuclear weapon system that nobody's ever had in this country before. We have stuff that you haven't even seen or heard about. We have stuff that Putin and Z have never heard about before. There's nobody. What we have is incredible," is what he told Woodward. And this is just spouting around the White House, just walking about. Like, that's top secret. If it's true, and obviously I think he is one for
I'm going to trust Bob Woodward on this. Yeah.
But Trump is one for hyperbole. So I can understand that, like, maybe he had never heard. The guy didn't know what the nuclear triad was when he first started running for president back in 2015 and 2016. So I'm sure that there's a lot of aspects of what our nuclear capabilities are that Donald Trump just had no clue about and was all new to him. And so there could be some gray area there, but if he's being briefed by the generals that this is like the state-of-the-art stuff that nobody else has got and this is only we have it, and then he's spouting that out to reporters writing a book or on other call, like, it's crazy to think that he's just spouting it out to anybody that would listen.
But he has, and that's in his record. So we know that that's what's happening on his side. Jay Rosen teaches journalism at New York University, and again is one of those people that I really appreciate his press critiques. And he really goes after NPR, National Public Radio, for a story and a tweet that they put up the other day. It said, "Republicans and Democrats increasingly think people in the other party are close-minded, dishonest, unintelligent, and even immoral, according to a large new Pew survey." Now, that sounds fair to you on its face, you know, but the both sides-ism of this is stunning. And as Jay rightly notes, if both parties went off the rails into paranoia, voters in both parties would call the other party a danger to society. But, and this is the key thing, if only one party slid off the rails while the other party remained in the normal range, voters in both parties would still call the other party a danger to society. So the headline from that survey, while it might make sense on its face, is so amazingly misleading. If you don't go a step further, don't just say people on both sides think, you know, the opposite party is closed-minded, dishonest, unintelligent, and even immoral, without stating whether one of the parties is in fact closed-minded, dishonest, unintelligent, and even immoral. If you don't do that, you're simply contributing to that entire, you know, both sides sickness that is plaguing the media today. And that is, you know, where we have found ourselves. It's what led, you know, some of us to want more than just the coffee that's in this mug. That reminds me, you were mentioned walking around the fairgrounds with the Pabst Blue Ribbon the other day because you're classy that way.
Yeah. I mean, I want an award-winning beer when I'm walking around and looking at all the award-winning livestock. That's the best way to take in the fair, in my opinion. So that's what I did on Saturday.
So have you tried the Pabst Blue Ribbon coffee?
I have.
Pabst Blue Ribbon with coffee.
Of course.
And what do we think?
It's delicious. It's a little sweet for me. Mm-hmm. I think there's got to be some kind of like hints of vanilla or something in there, but
There's a caramel flavored one and a regular flavored one.
Okay.
And yeah, I was prepared to hate it. And because they were selling it up at the Mallard, this little resort up river here. And yeah, it actually was pretty good, which to me sounds pretty dangerous. You know?
Those are my dad has kind of a slogan when we're on vacation. He says you can't be classified as day drinking if you don't start in the morning. And so I feel like PBR's coffee has really assisted in that when I am on vacation. Because you can start really easily in the morning then. Also, when back in June, when I was on vacation, I went down to the Smoky Mountains and I got some of this Appalachian sipping cream. And it is by far one of the best things to put in your coffee in the morning when you are on vacation because it is delicious.
Some of us may need these things come November, depending on the results. And there is apparently some new predictions in from 538, which, you know, again, there's a lot of really smart people that work there, but they're not always right. And, you know, these are just predictions based on various computer models. And they've put out some new ones based on the Wisconsin elections, models that simulate an election 40,000 times to see who wins most often. And then they bring that down to a sample of 100 times where they run the models to give you a range of the possible scenarios. So 538 is run for these run models for these races. And they have Ron Johnson slightly favored to win over Mandela Barnes based on all the times they've run these models. They have Tony Evers heavily favored to win over Tim Michaels. And then I'll get to the third one in a second here, but that raises this possibility: ticket splitting. Is it possible that both incumbents win, which would be incumbent Democrat Tony Evers and incumbent Republican Ron Johnson, as opposed to both Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes winning, or Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson winning? You know, who splits their tickets come November and goes with either the incumbent choices because they don't have any reason to vote against the incumbents, or votes for the challengers of both parties because they're on an anti-incumbent, you know, tear on their ballots this year. I don't know, Luke. I'm never one that's going to predict a split ticket that you know, incumbents of different parties are going to win. I guess I tend to be more partisan, thinking it's either going to be a Republican year or it's going to be a Democratic year.
Well, I mean, the state of Wisconsin was only a few thousand votes in 2018 from handily reelecting Senator Tammy Baldwin and reelecting Scott Walker in his bid against Tony Evers. So it was I forget the exact numbers of that 2018 race, but it was a thin margin that Walker lost to Evers. And it was those returns didn't come in until even, and this was before absentee ballots were widely used as they were during the pandemic. But that race came down to 1:30 in the morning, I think, it took for it to get called. And so there's definitely a possibility, but I would feel like if this 538 polling has Evers handedly winning against Michaels, that I tend to agree with you that if Evers is going to have a large margin, Mandela is going to almost use Evers' coattails on that then. Mm-hmm. I would assume it would be the reverse effect of Evers using Tammy Baldwin's coattails 4 years ago.
Well, and it's hard to see given how strongly Tim Michaels performed across rural Wisconsin. It's hard to see if Tony Evers wins handily, how Ron Johnson wins as well, because if Tim Michaels loses after that much of a rural vote, you'd have to think it would be both Evers and Barnes. Meanwhile, in Wisconsin's third congressional district, we've talked a lot about how evenly split that district has been historically. But in the 538 models, it currently says Derek Van Orden would win handily over State Senator Brad Paff, the way things look right now. And that's not the world's biggest surprise in that district. And it's also why in that district, I think you can't call that one yet with a safe prediction, simply because you have these two other marquee races on the ticket for both U.S. Senate and governor. And I would have a tough time seeing Van Orden win if Tony Evers and Mandela Barnes have pretty healthy margins, because what it tells you is not just that they won in the strongholds of Milwaukee and Madison, but that in all of the larger areas, voted, and that includes La Crosse and that includes Eau Claire. And if you look at the primary results from Brad Paff, he won very handily around La Crosse, where he has heavy name ID. He took all of the counties that were, contiguous to La Crosse there, and he's going to get an immense boost by voters in Eau Claire now that he didn't get in the primary, and in Menominee that he didn't get in the primary, and here in Chippewa Falls, where again, he didn't get that in the primary, but he will in the general. So I understand the models running saying that Van Orden wins, but I would like to see those, again, they said they ran 40 different simulations. I'd be, what was the metropolitan turnout each time of, Eau Claire and Chippewa Falls and Milwaukee, Madison, Green Bay, Wausau? What does that have to look like, for Van Orden to win or lose? And then, how does that change what your strategy is? Do you just keep trying to get out the vote in cities or out in the rural areas? These are things people get paid a lot more money than me to try to figure out.
Well, and there's an interesting phenomenon that's going on, and I think there's a lot of studies going into it over the last 2 years or 4 years now since Trump was elected. You see a lot of this Trump blowback at the national level. Like, Democrats were able to take back Congress, the House, the Senate, and Joe Biden won. And there's almost a weird phenomenon, though, that you see the top of the ticket, people are voting for Democrats, but if they're typically like a historical Republican voter, they almost have this down ballot guilt, and they will just go and Republican all the way down ballot. So there is some interesting phenomenons of that could reelect Evers, elect Mandela Barnes, but then see success for Derek Van Orden in a place like Wisconsin's third.
Yeah. And that's where, again, people are going to be really watching for that. I mentioned that Ron Johnson was in Racine County over the weekend, and I just noticed a tweet from Mark Pocan having some fun with it, because Ron Johnson had posted, about a packed stop in Racine County. And Mark Pocan, retweets the photograph and says, "Wow, what a large and diverse crowd of older white people. Did you share with them your ideas of making Medicare and Social Security eligible for annual cuts and stoppage of payments if government shuts down? I'll bet they might not be so excited. If you lose those people, Ron, you've got an empty room." That's what Mark Pocan put up for us. So, it's the gloves are off here. Mark Pocan and Gwen Moore have had no problem going after Ron Johnson and Derek Van Orden. And it's going to be a very animated campaign trying to keep that third congressional district in Democratic hands. We'll wrap up our visit today right after this. You're up north.